don't think that's my signature. I don't know. Maybe that's, maybe I was the witness. But you got that spelled wrong. I seldom printed anything.
I saw your name down the bottom.
Oh, well, I see. Wait a minute. I might have printed that out for the... No, I don't make an H like that. 1045 is charged. S-T-O-P-E-D. After I had the intersection. So anyway. This is on the bus.
It was on the bus?
Mm-hmm. Went south on the 3rd Street. 7:45 a.m. I don't know how come. That is, maybe I dictated to him. I don't know.
I thought that was kind of unusual anyway.
7:45 a.m.
Anyway, you said you started in 26? 28?
1926.
26.
October 1st is when I went on the payroll. I broke in for 5 days previous to that. And,
the city, let's see, they got it in 25, so they were running it then, weren't they?
They were operating it. They took over in December, I believe it was, in 25.
Right.
Then they replaced the old superintendent in
Mitchell.
In January.
Yeah.
So they were in full charge then, and in on the 1st of October I took it. Now also it was on the 1st of October in 1956 that I retired. Just 30 years to a day. So
the city sold it, what, in 57, I guess, thereabouts.
Yeah, about that.
Now they're back in. They're spending more money on it now when they don't own it, if you read by the papers.
Oh, well, the way they're going about it, it'll never work. You probably are aware of some of the property that they got when they bought that they acquired.
They got East Lake Park and a bunch of other things.
Woodland Park. And that park over there at 9th Avenue in Van Buren.
Yeah.
That's where the old plant had been, the old power plant had been. And there was a...
The old power plant had been at 9th Avenue?
9th Street.
9th Street. Okay.
There was the old stuff there. I don't know whether he'd... what they'd used to...
Well, they had the first,
anyway.
According as near as I can determine, the Sherman, who owned the thing originally, he built the first waterworks in Phoenix, and they were at that place.
Well,
and then he had the first power plant, and that was at that place, and then he came along with the street railway.
I guess as long as he, I don't know whether he ever lived here or not, but he... transferred his operations over to Los Angeles, and he had owned the what became the
Pacific Electric.
LA Railway.
Yeah.
It
was the one.
Pacific Electric. He sold it to the Southern Pacific.
Yeah, Los Angeles and Pacific it was, I think.
He was quite an old boy. But he didn't care anything about the operations over here. All he's interested in what money to get out of it.
Yeah.
And then there's the he put in a haywire outfit in the first place. He claptrapped a bunch of stuff. They said he even bought used ties. Discarded ties. I think it's going a little bit too far.
Well, I know that
the rails that they had was all used rails.
I know that there was a study that some outfit did in 1922. It was the Barstow Company, a management company in New York, came in and did a study with a view toward rejuvenating the railroad. And I found that finally down at City Hall because it had a bunch of pictures in it that I wanted, because I knew about it because when I was in college in 1951, I did a little report on the street railway system, and I went out, and Hardy was alive then, and I went out to his office, and he whipped out this report, and we were looking at it, so I'm looking through it. Well, I finally got a hold of it at the city here. Nobody could find it, nobody knew where it was, and so finally I wrote a nice letter to the mayor, and I told him what I was looking for, and that nobody seemed to be able to find it. And about 4 days later, here comes a big package to my office from the city manager, and it's this report. They said, when you're finished with it, well, please send it back. But anyway, they went in there, and they went into great detail about the track and the condition of the track, and how when they laid it down, why they just scrape off the dirt, put down the ties. They weren't creosoted or anything. They just put down plain pine ties, and then they just lay the rail on top of it, and most of it was used rail. And it was fairly lightweight, and then they ran very heavy cars on it, all of which didn't do
no, anything. No ballast.
Yeah, no ballast at all.
And and when I went to work, as long as I had those old tracks in, every time it rained, you could look out for trouble. The cars would get off the tracks because the rails would spread. There was nothing holding them but the dirt.
Yeah.
And lots of places were rotted ties. And then there would be, at any time there might be a low tie that would cause a rail to break. Every time the car went over, that rail would flex a little, and after a while it would crystallize and break. You'd have a broken rail. One time I run into the only time I ever saw a kinked rail. That thing was kinked in, it looked like it was in 18 inches. It was a hot day, but we had two car equipment, and the fellow I was working with, we met another car up there, and the old motorman, Baker is his name, and he came out there and he says, "You better watch out when you come back down." He says, "There's a rail kinked up there." He said, "It was kinked over that far." He showed about 18 inches, and he said, "I went over it," but he said, "I don't think anybody else can go over it." So sure enough, we come back down there while it was kinked. And so he oozed along and just barely moved, and had flanges on the wheels. Pushed it out. If it had been kinked out, of course, it would be nothing to it, but we couldn't have gone over it at all. We'd been derailed, sure. But we went over the thing. I suppose they come and saw the piece out. I don't know what to make the room for expansion. there was all kinds of trouble with those.
Well, you really got in on the ground floor then, on the good part of it, when they had all the old equipment left.
Yeah, there was in those days, most of the crossings had signs up there, private right of way, permission to cross, maybe prohibited at any time. Hmm. And that was all private
regular
property.
Regular street crossings, you mean, right of way.
Yeah. You are supposed to have an absolute right of way on that public right of way. You know.
That would have been like what, up on the Indian School line? And
yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, it, down in town, I don't know what the score was, but what had been, I guess, outside the city limits from Roosevelt Street North. I don't know how far east of city limits were when they laid those rails. On 10th Street, you probably wondered why that kink was out there at Roosevelt.
A little jog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wanted him to go up 14th Street with his line, and he wanted to go up 10th Street, and he owned that property in there, us bought it. And ran it up beside what would be 10th Street. So consequently, they built up, houses built up alongside it, and consequently those on the west side of the street from Pierce up to Roosevelt were built on street easements right away. So they had to straighten that out before they could move 10th Street on over. Because he was on his own property and they couldn't do anything about it. And the city limits was at Roosevelt. Then he could jump over and to where 10th Street was.
So that's why there was the jog.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I always kind of wondered about that.
He went over there about the width of the street, see.
Just about exactly the width.
And he ran his track up there. Well, he did whatever he wanted to.
Did you ever run out on the Glendale line?
Well, when I went to work, the Glendale line was in the process of being taken up. They took it up to right across Central Avenue. They called that Orange Wood. It's been a I don't know, not a subdivision hardly out there. Then
just
call that small one. But
the
anyway,
Orange Wood District, is it?
Yeah. And that is the Suggs bought 63 acres or something like that, 67 acres, over north of east of 31st Avenue and north of Glendale Avenue. Well, that's where our church is. We got that block 31st. He had that right away was up on the north end of it. So he had to get that cleared up before he used it. And of course, it was on the city. And he had to buy it or anyway get title to it before he could use that end up there. He didn't know that when he bought it.
I know there's some notes in the records, you know, in the books, like the notices they published to the guys that worked there, you know, that one of them saying that somebody had run off the end of the Orangewood line, and it was common knowledge that the line was being taken up, and there was no excuse for that sort of thing. I guess they just came to the end of the line. And
yeah, I can remember a fellow that did that, went out there at night, and they were taking it up, and I don't know how much they'd take up at the time, but Murray Parsons, he was the old track man. He had a crew out there, mostly colored, that were working on that. And some of them, I guess, they must have been old timers at it. Because, you know, they was singing as they was working, you know, and they'd pick those big rails up and all at one time they'd go up with the rail and bring it up shoulder high and then shove it over onto the car that was that they were loading it on. They pulled it back. It was great to watch those old boys singing and they along as they would lift that stuff up.
What kind of cars did they, what kind of cars did they use on that line after they took off when they didn't go all the way to Glendale anymore?
Oh, they just used ordinary. Well, they're old handbrakers. That track out there, they used the lightest ones. Yeah. And that track was in pretty bad shape. And it just it went to Central Avenue. It went north to Indianola or Fairmont. And then east on Fairmont to 12th Street. And at 12th Street and Fairmont, there was a dead man curve there. I mean, it was a square turn.
Flat and square?
Yeah. It was flat with two. And then went north to Maryland Avenue. Now, that's what they call Desert Curve, Maryland Avenue. there had been a subdivision put in there, something, I don't know what, one time. There was some chicken ranches and everything, and now they're out there, and a grocery store, general store. Then it went from 12th and Maryland, which it does occur, it went west to about 3rd Street, and then it turned north. That's what the commonly called the powerhouse curve. Well, there was a substation there.
That substation is still there, you know that?
Well, it is?
Yeah, you got one day, I went looking for it because, I knew that was where it was supposed to have been. And heck, I go down that road all the time, you know, and I never pay any attention. And set back off on the southwest corner, there's some great big cypress type trees out in front. And almost hidden by the bushes back there is this very strange-looking building, which is a two-level type deal, kind of the
brick.
Brick. Well, it's covered. The back is, you can see it's red brick on the back, but they're plastered over the front, and people are living in it like a house. There's a long shed-like affair in the back of it. It's still there.
Well.
Next time you drive over that way, take a look, because it is still there. Did you ever operate on that Orangewood branch out there at all?
Oh, yes. When I first started to work, the second run I got, I believe, was... No, I worked 2 sign-ups on Washington Street, I believe, and then I signed up with a fella out on the Indian School line that went to Orangewood. The motorman took it one night and the conductor the next night. I was on the back end. It's a conductor job. That's where they put me to start out with. And so the fellow I was working with, Calloway, Art Calloway, he was a good motorman. He was a good operator. He was smooth and he could make time. But boy, the way he would take some of those intersections. There was one at 3rd Street in Palm Lane. It was a high hedge, and you, in order to look out for the traffic coming from the west as you were southbound, you would have to come to a full stop and look around the corner, you know, because it was absolutely blind as could be. But old Art, he'd go past that thing where they're sitting around on the brass, as they called it, that is on those old cars had 9 points on the controller.
They have the little pieces, they have the little points that stick up on the...
No. They were all inside. There was nothing on the on the top of the controller, except the running points. That's 5, and of course 9 was, with the pin was the brass. It was a brass top there. Those old controllers had, and there was a raised piece there.
So you couldn't go any further?
Yeah, that was 9 points. Well, the 5 points was, and the 9 points were 2 running points. The rest of them were feeder points, and you weren't supposed to ever stop on one of those intermediate points. But he would he'd go past there just fast that thing and travel.
Well,
I know and I've seen the cars a time or two when he'd do that. They'd come out there and they would burn rubber, but never touched him. Turned the thing and he'd just turn around and look at it.
Street cars are a pretty heavy piece of machinery. There's no way of getting around that. I guess that was still pretty much in the country, though, out there then.
No, not that time. You see, they built up along 3rd Street, and at Los Olivas, at North McDowell Road, up to about Monte Vista, and from Central Avenue to 7th Street, they call that Millionaire's Row. That was the cream of the society lived out there. And that was before the country club was developed, that was those were put in there. I can't think of the old fellow Hughes. used to be a supervisor. He built the first house out there. And he was part of it. He had a pump business. I can't think what his name was.
Well, when you got off the Indian School line going and went out into Orangewood, was there a lot of houses along there then, or was that?
Yeah, there were houses along there. Now, it was built up pretty solid out around the Indian School. Of course, there was an old Pay and Pick store that was a local chain. The Safeway finally bought them out. They had a good big store and a good business at the southwest corner of the intersection of Indian School Road and 3rd Street. Then over on the east side of the street was the old Thomas building. It's still there. And the Bachelor Drug Store. George's father was, George Sr. was running that store then. And on the east side between that, there was the Maricopa Canal went down through there. It was open. It was just north of the Fairmont. And there wasn't any bridge crossing. There was nothing but the streetcar trestle.
The wooden trestle?
Yeah, the wooden trestle. And that's the only way you could get across there. Well, they had boards down through the middle of it so it could be easier walking. That's the way people walk back and forth. But south of that canal, it was built up just about solid over to Central Avenue and between 3rd Street and Central Avenue and clear down to Osborne Road. The old Osborne School was there. And on the other side, north of Clarendon, it was built up pretty well, from 3rd Street to 7th Street, and on north to Indian School Road.
When did they finally pave that through so that you didn't have that bridge anymore? Was that when they paved the whole street?
No, they put in a bridge there. That was probably in the '29, maybe it was in the '30s. But they didn't do anything in the '30s. Everybody's too poor to do anything.
Well, the streetcar line out there in the '30s was still pretty much on private right of way, wasn't it?
No, when the city bought it over, they owned the tracks, yeah.
But the tracks were by themselves, weren't they, out in the middle of the road?
Yeah, no, they were on the, out there, it was on the west side of the road.
After you got north?
The double track went to Clarendon, and then there was a single track from there on out, but it took the west track.
Took the west side.
So went on up there. I remember there used to be, we stopped right beside that Pay and Take It. And there used to be China berry trees along there, between it and the Pay and Take It store. It is kind of a, homey-looking place, you know, it's like a small town out there. Reminded me that neighborhood out there. They had business block there from 3rd Street on down, I guess mostly 2nd Street. They had a hardware store in there and different things. That was just a little shopping center out there.
Like,
yeah. They didn't have many in those days. Most everything was downtown.
I guess when I must have been 5 or 6 years old, my grandfather took me out there several times just for a ride in the 70s.
Yeah.
We'd have a Coke or something in the drugstore out there.
Yeah.
I don't remember that as well as you would, but I have kind of an impression about by the Indian School, the car track sort of being on the west side of the road and kind of under trees, like. Did you ever run the old Kenilworth line much at all?
Yeah, I run it.
Did you run it before they rebuilt it?
I never did sign over there when they had it back on the old way it was. Mark McDowell there about Palm Lane
went
or someplace.
To Palm Lane
and then it went over to
Third
Street, yeah. But I broke in when it was out there. The fellow broke in, me in on that line. He's the first one I went with. He's still living, Sam Hodges. And I can remember that very well.
And then the city straightened it out when they rebuilt it.
They
just ran straight north up
to Canada. And the people over there didn't like it worth a hoot. It runs on 2nd Street or 3rd Street, 3rd Street, I guess it was. 3rd Avenue.
You have to walk over.
Yeah. And of course, in those days, most everybody out there near rode that little line.
Another impression that I have, whether it's really true or not, about that same time, when every Saturday my grandfather used to take me for a ride in the streetcar. We'd go downtown and we'd go out and run the lines. And it seemed to me like at the end of the Kenilworth line, it kind of stopped under some cottonwood trees,
Yeah, it was. Yeah, the older line.
The older line. That would have been before my time.
The later one, it stopped at Encanto Boulevard. What's Encanto now? That was it. It was just barrel around.
Did you ever work on the extension east on the Washington Street line out the asylum?
I broke in there. That was all. The Hollywood.
I found a deal in the company records where they were telling, I forget when it was, must have been 1920 or thereabouts. And they were giving the motorman all kinds of promotion, saying that when you leave the car, apparently they'd leave the car out there someplace when they weren't using it. They'd leave it out. And he said, well, when you do that, he said, you're going to have to find a better place to hide the controller because a bunch of young boys, without any regard to their own safety, or without any parental guidance, or getting on that car and driving it back and forth on the line.
Well, I remember they used to sometimes they'd have him he'd park it, and then he'd take the Washington car. And I can remember that. I'd forgotten all about that. They had a little old number 14. It was a little old single truck car that they used to use out there.
Yeah, by that time I don't have a picture of that with me, but I've got saw a picture of it. It was apparently it had been completely open originally, with cross seats and then running boards. Then they rebuilt it and closed in the middle.
Well, that was a different one.
That was a different one.
Yeah, that little old 14 that I'm thinking about. It was a single truck and it had benches down the sides, and I don't know where the ends were supposed to end out. But anyway, I don't remember about that. But it had a wind-up, a wheel-type brake. And I never did operate that thing. And and there was a dog, that held a wheels. How did that thing work? Anyway, you had a wheel there that had notches in it, and this dog fit in those. And I think to release that brake, you kicked the thing. That's the way it went. It turned a shaft that went down through the floor, and then this cog wheel was down there just above the floor. And then this dog was beside it, and that would hold the brake on, see? And when you wanted to release it, you'd kick that with your foot. Kick the other end, and then throw the dog out.
Release the whole notch.
Yeah. And I imagine you may either have to do a little of it with your hand too on the brake. That thing only had 5 points on the controller, and it wouldn't go about a dog trot as fast as it'd go.
It was probably a very, very old one.
Sam Hodges said one time they had a bunch of those little old cars. They got rid of them. They always had used the cars, except doing it. The old company only bought 4 cars new.
Yeah. I got pictures.
40, 41, 42, and 43. And I know them all. I can tell you all about them. Just exactly which one's best and which one's the ins and outs about them, what's wrong with them, what's the advantages.
Well, they kept those right up to the even the city used those some
after they
the new cars.
They closed those things in. They closed one in 50. The front end, front vestibule, and they used that on the Kenilworth at night. And they used the other, they used the 40s on Grand Avenue, the other two, and they had a spare, 41, 42, 43 used to be the spare. Old 43 was low on one side, kind of lopsided, and the thing couldn't feed it up very fast and kick off, or knock the over. They had an overhead switch right over your head that the thing would kick, and make a heck of a noise. Sometimes a firefly out of the thing, you'd have to reach up there and whack the thing back in, and then you could feed it up. And it didn't brake so good either. But
they did have air brakes and whistles, I know so.
Yeah, well, they took the whistles off of them. The only thing that they had a whistle on was old 33. That was a there was no other one like it. The whole number 1 and 33 were different from any of the rest of them.
The 33 is one that I don't have a picture of, but it was.
I got a picture.
You got a picture of it?
Mm-hmm. Let's see now. I don't know where this thing's at. I don't think it's in it. There's old 33 again.
I'll be darned.
And here's old number 1. That was supposed to be the old number 1, because that's the fastest one we had.
You got a better collection of pictures, I think, than I do.
Well, he's that Bill Scott, he's still living.
I'm not talking to him.
This is these keep us waiting around there for our paychecks. And they wasn't shooting any crap, they were just posing for a picture. Nobody had any money to pull payday. Let's see now. See, these are some of them different places.
Yeah, this one was different.
Yeah. Now
that was one of the brand new ones. Now they came with, what color were these things when they came with?
They were orange. A dark orange, deep red, almost red.
Almost red?
Mm-hmm.
And what was this color?
That was a yellow.
A yellow?
They were pretty neat.
Now they had these old cars, they kept those old cars out behind the car barn for a long, long time.
Here's a bunch of the junk that was out there. There's old rails and there's old cars. Now that was what they used. I don't know. Well, they sometimes used it. Yeah, they kept the team there when I first went to work, and they was working on the lines in the line wagon. And because I remember it, Larry was a short Mexican that handled it. Yeah. They tell Larry to get the team, and he jumped in the wagon, and they go some places.
I've seen a picture of this 33, but it was an older picture and it had open ends on it at that time. You starting back here?
No, I've got this. They just happen to be.
Oh, they just happen to be there. Okay.
Old pictures of there's Dickie, Jim Hayes, and this fellow was international man from Salt Lake City.
These are especially interesting.
That's the way they collected fares.
That time, yeah, when you doing?
Yeah, he had a rope.
On an Holmes register.
Homer, yeah.
Or Homer, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I got a picture of, I got a picture of number one, too, but it's not that,
yeah.
Can't hardly make out the number.
Mm-hmm. That is. That was probably an oiler, I guess.
Must have been. Here's one of the 40s. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
And here's a long shot of one after it was down the bottom, ruined, and sitting out in the backyard. That was supposedly what
one of the old summer cars.
They were new, supposedly.
Let's
make it out to 40. But whether that was, that really isn't a photograph. Or if it is, it's been touched up in some way. If you've noticed, you can't see the trolley poles.
No.
Let me start back here and show you some of these, and I don't lose those. I want to take a look at those. That's a horse car.
I don't know. Maybe I've got a picture of that.
There's a horse car picture.
I don't know whether I got one in this mess here or not.
That was a picture that they put on the front of the invitation to ride in the last streetcar.
Yeah.
That same picture.
And which wasn't the last. That's quite a bit. We were operating for about a week after that.
I mean, they operated after they had the big ceremony?
Yeah. I operated the last, for about a week or 10 days.
I didn't know that.
There. You can have that.
Where in the world would that have been, that picture been taken?
Well, that was taken at 2nd Avenue in Washington. You remember the old drugstore?
Yeah.
Used to be there.
Make yourself room so you can sit in. Now that one says Overfield.
We were fooling around down there and waiting for a paycheck. Just cutting up the guy climbing up on top there. That's what I looked like about 40 years ago.
And here you got two in a row, one with the new color and one with the old.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder where that would have been. Was it in the end of a line? Because here's a little light up there. That might be the Indian school.
Well, I think that rather.
Yeah, I think it's out the
there.
Indian school.
Yeah.
But they must have just repainted it.
Yeah.
Because this is still orange. That's the old orange color back there.
Oh, they changed colors several times. That's a couple of guys cutting that thing. I heard about him out this Van de Bogart. He's an old waterboat trooper.
And there's one that shows the old brake.
Yeah, that was Bill Scott.
That's good. That's a good picture. Now some of these darn things are enclosed. Now, I know, like on the far end of them, they'd have the door in the middle. Some of them had the steps here, and some of them had the steps up there. And I'll show you.
Well, some of them had steps on both sides. For changing hands, that talking about doing high steps in the morning.
That's the orange one again.
Yeah.
What happened to this one, number 108?
Well, now there's a... Shortly after we got those cars, the superintendent, these two run together. That's it, on 32. They were right out there in, at 13th Street. They had a crossover there, and this one here was going into the yard. He had to cross over from this eastbound track over in here. Take the track here, and I'll take the lead track off into the yard. Well, this one was westbound. And the last day, well, he was doing the fair in the evening. And he had a pack load. He just picked him up from 16th Street down there, see? And he didn't see the switch. The switch, somebody had left the switch open. And he just went right across the end of that one.
What car was that? What number was that?
This is old 33.
Oh, that's like rebuilt. Oh, yeah, okay. And then this was what it did to the front end of 108. Did they rebuild that one?
Oh, yeah.
Now, one of these things, you know, they bought 18, and in later years, there were only 17. One of them, something must have happened.
Well, for some reason, they sold one of them to some guy out on Van Buren Street, way out there. And he used it for a diner or something kind.
One of the new ones?
No, yeah, one of those, one of the 18. And that was about 1940, 41, sometime along there. Because I was in Salem at that time, I think. Sold for $500, and then they tried to buy it back from him. A couple of 3 years, and I don't know what he won. They make $1,000.
Wonder why they sold it in the first place.
I don't know. It's just a bunch of foolishness. It's going to buses, and it just cannibalized, maybe it, and decided to get rid of it. This is yours.
I appreciate that. And slogans all over them. This is a very nice picture. Leaning out the front there, I like that.
Yeah, a window down and open. I guess these are all pictures of picnics and like that.
And there's this one up here on the end of the Kenilworth line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I brought some, I have a bunch of extra ones of some that I have, which are in later years. I thought you might like to have, because they're in color. That's a full set of them.
I don't know why they changed the numbers around. They changed them different. Maybe the different numbers. That's why I often wonder.
There was a fellow who owns a radio station in a place called King, California. He was a railroad buff, and he took these pictures at rodeo time in 1947. On slides, close slides. You can have those because I got a whole mess of them.
Oh, you have? Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah.
I got.
In 47, that's when they.
They'd already taken off the Brill line, but they picked out a sample of everything.
Well, then the. See, they had a fire down there.
Yeah.
And they had 7 cars left, I think it was. And they repaired them out in the open, used them on Washington Street. I was working on Washington Street at the time.
The time of the fire?
I think so, but I worked on afterwards anyway, and they had one extra at least. I don't know what do you think? That Washington Street, yeah. And
these have to be in Denver.
I don't know now.
Yeah, because it's narrow gauge. They had a narrow gauge.
Railroad buff, he can give me some pictures and give him some. But it's San Francisco.
Yeah.
There's jumped back in the yard there. They had one old car, old 21. I'd like to have a picture of that. That was.
You'd like to have a picture of it? I've got some.
It was two splashed together. That's what they used on Glendale. It used to be in the middle there. There was a safe and apparatus that went with it, sort of a little office in there. The guy that the conductor on that Glendale line, he was a Wells Fargo agent. They shipped all kinds of stuff.
Back yeah, I know they did.
He said, sometimes money from one bank to another.
You know, when you compare though, you take this, here's a picture of 1890.
The old Larry Hill building.
And this car here, which is closed park and open park,
yeah.
If you count all the windows, and you look at the, you know, the trucks and the understructure and so forth, looks very much like this is the same model car, simply enclosed.
Could be.
Let me start at the beginning.
The Natatorium. I remember seeing that picture now. I guess in the paper. I got old newspaper and magazines. It's got a lot of old pictures. It got a bunch of old stuff.
This is a family on the back of a horse car.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was quite the thing.
Yeah, for an outing.
And
there's one of the old four-wheel cars.
Yes, and summer car, you call them. They had a running board out here. The conductor went down that running board and seen there. And
collected the fares.
Fares.
And that's like Washington First Street. This just shows some people going out to catch a car. This is a parade at statehood, is what it really is. But I had this trolley car back here, which is why I was.
That's Ford Hotel, isn't it?
No, that's
no,
the radio building.
Oh yeah, sure, those windows. Yeah. The tower's over here. There it is. There.
And this one I was kind of interested in because this is an enclosed one, but it's a real small one.
Well, that was on First Street, just north of Washington. See, at that time, the old rail used to go up that way.
Here's another picture. See, here you got one that's open,
yeah.
And this one's closed.
Where'd you start? Not the wall paper.
Behind me. That was before I was in the Doris, I think.
Yeah.
Before I was in the other guy. Here's another one. It's the courthouse and clock over the car. Must have been. This isn't a very good picture, but it shows it. Of course, some of these get blurred a little bit when they blew them up. This is taken off of a postcard, of all things, a colored postcard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much that. That's the old railroad station. And this is one that Bill Scott had.
Oh yeah,
which
I've got a picture of him, Old Man Winter. Yeah, I've got a picture of him someplace.
Now that was Sherman.
Yeah, I never did see a picture of him.
And this
he gave the for the old Colonel, yeah, old General Sherman, they called him. So he gave the land to that capital building. And he also gave the land for a depot at Six Points. He wanted the station there. He had a line run down there and the fairgrounds. So they took it and they put a depot there. They just a little, I don't know if it still stands or not. They call it Mobest after it.
Yeah.
Mobest. And they put it there. They got the land, see. That's what they're after. These 20 acres he gave to, well, that whole capital ground.
There was a picture of
one of the they had a couple of those made. Let's see, I believe that. Yeah. Matthew Dixon there? Dickinson?
Yeah, I think so. Because he's the one who gave the picture.
Yeah. That was one that they had made. They took a two-decker chassis and had Allison build the body. They built it on a truck. They had two of those, or maybe three of them.
Here's an old picture of the car body.
Yeah, and Sherman's. Herman Thompson and Bill Scott, and they worked together. Okay.
This was a very bad picture, but it was under the tree now at East Lake Park. There's another one, Scott.
He broke me in on the grill.
Two more, I don't know who that is.
Now let's see.
Sure you do that. This is the one up at the Indian School. You have the old pen and take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That looks like an old shitty about it. 24, 23 to 4.
This is
an old line car.
We got a picture of that right here someplace. There's another one. This is just a street decision. There's no particular car in it, but this is the Fleming building, yeah. And the courthouse is here. I was interested in the tracks going off down there. There used to be a line that went down to the
depot. Yeah.
Was that at any time during your time?
No.
The tracks were
later.
There.
Yeah.
There's one. What color did they paint?
Yellow.
Were the cars generally yellow when you first went to work there?
Yeah, they were yellow, but they hadn't been painted in God knows when. And they had those signs all over them, you know.
Slogans?
Life of careless auto drivers almost a living. Be careful. Stuff like that. And auto costs you 10 cents per mile. We knew the 3 mile ride was 5 cents. That's it, Quillen. they had those old badges before I went to work. They were metal, aluminum.
Yeah.
Something sort.
And the center is the, should have brought one over. I got a couple of them. And,
I had one, but I don't know how to have to.
You one of the old ones?
Yeah, I had one. And they were, when I went to work, they had issued new badges to City of Phoenix, you know, to go
over
there.
Little tiny round.
No, they had a plastic, it was the same shape, about that. The number up in there, City of Phoenix up around the top. Said Beavis had motorman and conductor down at the model.
There's a.
And then the odd numbers were motorman and even were conductor. Yeah, 34. 134. Now that's the original numbers, but then that's been painted since. They went back to the original numbers to this. James Payne.
Well, now, I know you had one in there, that one picture said 108 on it. What did they do, numbering?
Yeah, they started with 100. 100 was the lowest, and then they 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, and 14. Let's see what, yeah. Then it went up to 32, is that right?
I think that's about 34. Right. 34.
34 would be, I guess.
So they do they take every...
You saw even numbers.
Even numbers starting with 100, and then the next would be 102 and 106, so forth. That's about by where at least the capital at the Atlas, 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one's got an interesting thing here. Was this color, was this just all orange on this?
Well, I don't remember. They had a different colors. One time they had a, what they called a seafoam green in the desert cream, and then they had on the sides here, they had ornamental design.
Well, they had, you mean like these slashes of green color?
No. Let's see. I've got the junk scattered around. They take me all day to, or maybe more than a day to hunt up.
You notice this one's got a, these have got some wheel covers on.
Yeah, they was trying to deaden the sound. They put those on there, and they had the inside sprayed with tar, you know, trying to deaden the sound. Well, it deadened it quite a bit, but they claimed that it kept making the motors run hotter and journals and so on.
So they only tried on one car? Or?
Yeah, that's what they used to do. They just experiment one car, that would be the end of it.
Did they do many strange experiments like that?
Well, there was a guy by the name of House. I don't know whether he's around anymore or not, but he was a superintendent during the Depression there when Charlie Griggs was city manager, what he was. But anyway,
city manager.
Well, he's city engineer and city manager.
Yeah.
So he's back and forth. And he was, they were out to can as many as they could. So they started experimenting with cars. And they had put hard brake shoes on. The idea was, it said, was to try to cut down
don't
that.
Yeah, I think you're going to sit on some of these. Mm-hmm. Careful. Okay.
Try to cut down on the consumption of the brake shoes.
Yeah.
And he said, well, since I tested the hardness of the wheel and made 10% softer. Well, you know what the hard shoe on a hard wheel would do? It would make a glaze. It would take polish, a high polish. It wouldn't grip. And of course, the hotter it got, of course it was. Well, and then they built up some wheels, bigger wheels. So a fella didn't have much chance. He didn't know in stopping those. It wouldn't break like it should. And then they experimented with the leverage. And so, meantime, we got organized. And that came up at the union meeting one time, what was going on. And so I happened to think, and I said, well, you know those brakes? The city of Phoenix doesn't own those brakes on those cars. Westinghouse Brake System owns them. And I think that they should be notified as to what's going on. If they'd be interested to know. Well, there was a guy come there not long afterwards.
From Westinghouse?
Yeah.
No, probably just as well. Did they ever try any kind of bells, the unusual bells, or whistles,
yes.
Or...
They had an air bell at one time. Now that thing would, it would really raise your hair up, the way that thing would cut loose.
How did you work that? What was that like?
Oh, you just pressed the button, your foot.
And then it went off kind of a constant ringing bell?
Yeah, there was a plunger that hit the bell.
Yeah.
I don't know how many oscillations a second it made, but it was pretty fast. And that thing was loud.
I remembered as a kid something about something like that. But
then they had those ratchet type that... there was a sort of a wheel inside the gong, and there were, it worked like a governor. As it spun, while there was wheels in there that were loose, it would come out and strike the gong. Well, there's a projection on the gong that it would strike, and it was about I think it's two of them to a gong. This crosspiece went across there, and these wheels were on the end of it. They were solid, and they had a loose the hub hole was great big, so that they could slide back and forth, and as a the centrifugal forces pull them to the outside, and they'd ring the bell. But they were operated by a pedal, it was a pin, a gong pin.